You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. If you come to the site now, you can check out all our fun stuff for the offseason there, the positional rankings, stadium rankings, uniform rankings, as well as the nitty-gritty breakdowns, the depth chart, overviews there of teams going in to training camp to help you kind of figure out the fantasy football situation with the offensive skill players. Here on Locked On Fantasy Football, we continue our offseason previews for every team here in the NFL. We're going a division a week for 8 weeks to get you through all 32 teams. We're on the NFC East here, and we went with our first two shows on the Dallas Cowboys and New York Giants. Now we're up in alphabetical order to the Philadelphia Eagles. So preview of them going with these shows, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and anything of note there with defense, kicker, and kind of giving you a summary of everything we think this team was going to do that has fantasy relevance going into camp here in 2019. So let's dive right into looking at the Eagles. The big thing that happened, of course, was at quarterback with Carson Wentz signing that mega extension. Behind him, Nick Foles. They didn't keep him. They couldn't afford that luxury anymore. He moves on to the Jaguars to be the starter. So Carson Wentz, unquestioned here as the number one. They have the commitment to him. They think he's going to be durable. So they're looking for those numbers from a couple years ago before he had his knee injury against the Rams there and was on track to potentially be the league MVP with some of the things he was putting up in their very diverse and explosive offense, and Wentz was firmly at the controls there delivering. So Wentz is a really strong bounce back candidate. He did have QB1 value at times when healthy there, but that was a big question the past 2 years. Took him a while to get him back in the lineup with that knee, and then got banged up late in the season as well. So it's how much are you willing to trust him? I think with Carson Wentz, here's what I suggest. I think you still take him as a QB1 in that QB 6 to 10 range, but also make sure you have a very strong backup, a durable guy that you can put behind him. An example we talked about is Dak Prescott. He's one of those guys we know that's going to be there week in and week out and available. So it'd be weird to have both of those guys as Eagles and Cowboys rivals as your top two quarterbacks, but I think that makes a lot of sense only because you have to hedge your bets. Wentz, much like the Eagles did with Foles behind him, you should follow that same plan in fantasy football. You really can't go in with Wentz and have no net there behind him. It just not reasonable to do, even though the team and himself and a lot of people in Philadelphia feel like he's going to be healthy going forward. You can't guarantee that, and especially not for a guy that has had those injury issues in the past. Now, the backup situation behind him is in flux here. You have Nate Sudfeld hanging around, but they also acquired Cody Kessler from the Jaguars as Nick Foles went to the Jaguars. And they also used a fifth-round pick on Clayton Thorson out of Northwestern. So there's going to be a battle for the backup duties, but when you hear the names Sudfeld, Thorson, and Kessler, you're looking more of a battle for a developmental number two. Kessler has the most experience here, so you figure he's going to be the number two early if something were to happen to Wentz and he goes down. But I think they see Thorson having that upside as developing as the ideal backup. It'll just take some time here with that physical skill set. So that means that Eagles, again, it's not going to just handing over the keys to a backup where you feel competent about the production, not to have a drop-off. There's going to be a drop-off if there's no Wentz in there at the controls. Kessler's a guy that can deliver the ball with accuracy, but not much big play ability from him. It's about getting the ball out short to intermediate to the key playmaker. So he'll at least facilitate them, but he's not going to have any standout value on his own should he get the controls to the Eagles offense. At running back, that's the position we'll spend the most time on here because that's the one that we're questioning the most. And you look at the top of the depth chart last year, you had Jay Ajayi there. You had Darren Sproles with his running ability and receiving ability there. But now you have a complete change here as they traded for the former Bear Jordan Howard, drafted Miles Sanders with a second-round pick out of Penn State. So pretty high pick there. Given that the Eagles have been getting effective work out of their committee, I think they were a little tired of that. They wanted a little bit more streamlined situation with two backs, and I think they got it here. I think it's interesting that Wendell Smallwood and Josh Adams, we've looked at those guys for some fantasy value in the past, but they're now on the roster bubble here because you look at the receiving back situation. If you go in the back of the roster, you have Donnell Pumphrey. He's been kind of hanging around with Smallwood for a while as well, but he looks the odd man out. They really like what Boston Scott can do, and that Sproles role makes a lot of sense. He's coming over from the Saints, so both teams kind of liked him in that role as a change of pace. So Smallwood and Pumphrey, based on this crowd here with Howard and Sanders, are gone. Josh Adams probably not in a good spot either as a poor man's LeGarrette Blount. He doesn't work well in this mix, so what we're figuring is Scott in the back end of this is going to be the change of pace where Corey Clement is the swing guy that can do a lot of little things for this team, play early downs, late downs, and be trusted there as kind of a lieutenant of this offense now in his third year. So when you look at Howard and Sanders, this one is developing pretty clear. I think Sanders has been banged up and not kind of running with the chance for the early down work as expected here, but explosive guy can be a good complement there to what Jordan Howard does. Howard is not the best pass catcher, and that's why he was phased out of the Bears offense. So all that being considered, you look at Howard being the power back early down guy while Sanders being worked in there slowly but surely as a change of pace with some big playability there, and he really has more feature qualities than Howard. So Howard might, in time, fade a little bit and be more just the power option behind what Howard can do. Well, like, you look at Sanders and his ability, just way more upside to be in a feature-type role, but we know the Eagles don't go in that direction, so there's going to be usage for Howard. They're going to trust Howard with the pass protection and all that early as well because he's a steady back. He's going to get the yards that are there. He can run well behind this offensive line. He may not have as many flash plays as Sanders, but he's going to get all the yardage there, have some chunk runs, and be consistent. So I think that all that gives Howard here a pretty good edge to get the most touches here, while Sanders may have fewer touches but could have a little bigger impact in terms of some big runs there and finishing some with touchdowns. And also hurting Sanders a little bit is Corey Clement can be a third down back and cut into that role as well. So, again, it's hard to go all in on Eagles' backs, but they each have a role. Howard, I think you look as a back-end RB2. Miles Sanders is more of a high-end RB3 and roll with it that way. And we know this can change and different guys getting involved. We've seen that with Smallwood and Adams and Clement. So, situation that if you have to dive into, I would lean a little bit more to Howard than Sanders, only because he can retain that touchdown value as well in an offense that plans to score a lot. We will talk about the Eagles wide receivers and tight ends in a minute, but first, guys, we have to take a break to talk about sex. That's right, good sex. Remember when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. You got to go to BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work, and you know that they work anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And because they're chewable, they can work twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever that opportunity comes along. And this is not just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants to perform better in the bedroom. Because Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, and they're made in USA, they're cheaper than a pharmacy, and that means no more waiting in the pharmacy, no in-person doctor visit. Blue Chew is going to prescribe to you online and ship straight to your door in a discreet package. Best of all, with that, no more awkwardness that comes with getting YLs or CLs. So when you look at that, Blue Chew is the better alternative for you, cheaper, faster. And there's a special offer for you, listener. BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment free using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's right. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON and you pay the $5 shipping and they'll ship it to you free. BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try Blue Chew for free. Blue Chew, better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here with a look at the Eagles wide receiver situation. All right, let's move on to what the Eagles have done at wide receiver. It's a little different here. You have DeSean Jackson in the mix. So this is the other big change other than the Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders addition to the backfield that we just broke down for you. DeSean Jackson's back, and it looks like he never left the Eagles. He's that big play field stretcher. They also drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, a big-bodied guy out of Stanford in the second round. So those are the changes here, and that's going to cut into some things that Alshon Jeffrey does. He has been a big playmaker in the past, but now he's like that number one all-around possession guy. So he's still the top receiver here as a wide receiver two. But DeSean Jackson getting some more juice as a wide receiver three because he's a big playmaker. His speed really fits well with the arm of Carson Wentz. He's a way upgrade over Torrey Smith and Mike Wallace and those guys that have been there before. He feels rejuvenated after kind of fading with the Buccaneers there. So overall, DeSean Jackson looking to be in a great spot here to have a big rebound and still very fast despite him being on the other side of 30. He wasn't used as well there. They tried with the Bucs, but Chris Godwin came on and Mike Evans was a clear number one. But here, the Eagles have a specific role for him as that speedy deep threat, and they're using it. And he's the outside guy complementing what Jeffrey again does with his size, body positioning to go up and get the ball and do the big possession things through the red zone. Jackson is a great complement to that, and he's shown he hasn't lost a step. And I think the familiarity of being in Philadelphia, even though he's new to this particular offense with guys around him, that's helped Jackson stand out as well. So he can't be ruled out as a factor like he was in Tampa, where we were excited about him but it didn't quite work out, where this legitimately could have some value as the number two wideout opposite Jeffrey here. Now, what does that mean for Nelson Agholor? Well, he's still valuable as a slot receiver, but you also have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside that they can put in when they spread the field and use his big body to finish drives here. So Agholor is bound to see his touches go down a little bit with Jackson being more involved. And Jackson, we know, is going to be a home run threat with occasional targets there, not as regular. He's going to make the most of what he has. So Agholor will still be involved, but it's nothing like you saw from a couple years ago, especially with Arcega-Whiteside in the mix. They also have Shelton Gibson and Mac Hollins hanging around here as well. Charles Johnson. So it's very crowded. Even Braxton Miller is here as a camp body for the Eagles. So overall, if you look at it, Jackson, to me, has more appeals than Agholor because he's got the yardage, the ability to have the big boom game, and also touchdowns. So Agholor, a couple years ago, the touchdowns and usage in the red zone was his calling card, but it's harder now when you look at the crowd at tight end increasing, more options at running back, and Jeffrey fully healthy. That all changes the way you look at Nelson Agholor and you fade him into wide receiver four territory pretty hard here going into 2019. We look at tight end, and Zach Ertz, we know, is the studly number one. He's in the mix. He's probably the third tight end you're going to take in most drafts behind Travis Kelce and George Kittle. They're the big three, so-called, at the position. PPR, I think he might even have more value than those two guys because of his high targeting. And again, a guy that can cut into Agholor's value. Dallas Goedert, the second round pick in 2018, should see a little bit more work. They also have Richard Rodgers, the former Packer there, and Josh Perkins has flashed a little bit. So a little bit of a committee approach there with that second tight end, and that's why it's hard to completely go in on Goedert here. He did have his moments and produced a little bit despite a limited role behind Ertz last year as a rookie. They really like what he can do. He's a big body, but I think his production is going to be more sporadic out of these two tight end sets from game to game. He could have a big game here and there, but nothing sustainable based on the matchup. It could be a game where he's heavily involved versus him being lightly involved with a lot more usage for the three wide receiver sets. So Goddard, again, a lot to like about him. Unfortunately, he's in a tough landing spot for clear tight end one production. He's firmly down there to tight end two because he landed there behind Ertz, and that's not going to change much in year two, even though Goddard could be a better overall player there for the Eagles. So when you break it down for Carson Wentz, I mean, he's in a great spot with Jeffrey, Jackson, Ertz, maybe a little bit more from the guys in the backfield, Arcega Whiteside finishing drives, and Nelson Agholor working out of the slot. So pretty darn impressive array of weapons there to feel good about Carson Wentz. Again, we said anywhere from quarterback 6 to quarterback 10 makes sense for Wentz. As we feel better about his health in training camp and the weapons improve, I think you'll see that Carson Wentz is going to bump up the boards a little bit, and that means you'll also have to pay a higher premium on the insurance you go get for him with all these weapons. But these weapons line up nicely. They have great value here overall, and a lot of good valuable pieces there to spread the wealth in the back end of your wide receiver roster and on the top end of your tight end roster in fantasy football. Now, before we kind of wrap up the show and look at that, I got to remind you that check out the Locked On NBA mock draft with the local experts in their draft room and Jeremy Wu of SI.com. The player breakdowns, Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy Basketball, the Fantasy Breakdown. Get all that here before the 2019 NBA draft actually goes down on Thursday. So check out that all on the Locked On NBA channel here. And make sure that when you're commuting or just driving around, that you remember that you can listen to all the shows on the Locked On Network through your smart device in your car. Just say, play podcast Locked On Fantasy Football, and we'll be right there with you for the drive. We'll be right back here to give our final thoughts, look at the Eagles defense, and sum up what their fantasy value is. All right, final look at the Eagles. Now, do we look at their defense? And I think the defense could have a lot of relevance, a lot of playmakers there for fantasy football. You got Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, and Derek Barnett can stuff the stat sheet with sacks, so good matchup there. You have Zach Brown, a very talented inside linebacker, coming over to replace Jordan Hicks, so he's going to have some good value there in IDP leagues, really help the playmaking quotient of this team. They have settled in their secondary a little bit more. They have Rodney McLeod back healthy, so that helps with Malcolm Jenkins playing, making plays in the back end. They added Andrew Sendejo for some depth there. Pretty solid at the corners here with Ronald Darby and Sidney Jones stepping in bigger roles. Cravon LeBlanc had his moments last year. They also added L.J. Fort and linebacker from the Steelers. So a lot of good additions here, both through free agency, a little bit of depth through the draft, and then also guys coming back from injuries here. So a lot deeper, smoother defense overall. They've got more options to get after the quarterback. Pretty deep here when you consider they have Timmy Jernigan and Vinny Curry coming off the bench here for this team. So pretty loaded front there to make some plays, a sack. So you want to use them in a lot of places there against some weaker offenses. They're going to come through with some big-time games. And, again, Brown can be an IDP stud, particularly in this offense cleaning up, and really help the value of this defense overall. So a very special defense here developing in Philadelphia that you can look at, and I think they're going to be in that 5-7 range as a draft pick at the position. And you should feel confident using them more weeks than not. I wouldn't use them against the better offenses, but, for example, the Giants and Redskins in their own division right there is a great place to get DST1 value out of the Eagles. Now, we'll close with the kicking situation. Jake Elliott, one of the better, steadier kickers in the league, is very established now as the kicker that you want in fantasy football. So everything to like about the Eagles when you think about it overall between their offensive skill players, running backs have some intrigue, Wentz as a QB1 bounce back candidate, and you look at defense being a starter as well as kicker. So a lot to like about the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they have a nice rebound season. Had to adjust a little bit with Frank Reich gone last year, but Doug Peterson and company are going to get this team right. And with the Eagles, it's good to have a little bit of baseline and experience of what you can expect from their offense, and that really helps us determining the value of all these players in fantasy football, old and new, here to check out what they can do. So, yeah, Eagles, one of the better teams to like overall in fantasy football, and you can get a lot of options there from them where other teams in this league, you're going to have to scratch and claw for someone of relevance. But here, everywhere you look, the Eagles have it, and that's what makes them a very good reality team. That's what makes them a team full of very valuable fantasy football assets. So there you have it, a look at the Eagles and their fantasy football outlook going into training camp. It's not going to change much coming out of camp except that Howard Sanders situation. But again, we feel really confident about where we place all the Eagles here in fantasy football. For Locked On Fantasy Football, as we continue our NFC's previews, this has been Vinny Iyer. Tomorrow we'll wrap up the week with a look at the Washington Redskins and their fantasy football outlook for 2019.